Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Alkonen. He is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, Joel, I want to pick apart a few individual stocks that you and I have talked about in the recent past. And in all fairness, these stocks were doing very well. Still, some of them are doing very well, but we're going to start off with Tesla. And that one has had quite the pullback just in the last couple days. And you know what? It went on a very impressive run heading into its addition into the S&P. But fact of the matter is, it seems like right when the S&P adds some of these big name stocks, they start to fade. It makes sense to me, but overall, what do you think about Tesla? Do you think the run is over here, or is this just some short-term weakness?
A couple things. First of all, Corey, thanks for having me on this Tuesday. I don't know if a lot of your listeners or you are on Twitter, but there was a thread over the weekend by a guy named Christopher Bloomstrand. And check it out. I mean, he talked about the Tesla ad and how the S&P has had a long history of adding stocks at really bad times. And he goes into it. It's a little hard to read on Twitter. But from a technical standpoint, that 695 print on Friday looks like a gift, right? I mean, you've sold off, about $60, $65 from there. I like to keep, you know, my technicals, and I'm doing the show and talking with people, I like to keep them simple. And my line in the sand for Tesla was 650. And the reason that is that just there was some congestion on the daily charts there. You had some all-time closing high prices right in there, which they improved on after the ad. So you lost that 650 today. You're down $23. You're down at 627. Do I think the run is over? No, it's hard to say because now you're going to build up some overhead supply, right? Okay, all right, I missed it. Next time it gets to 650, I'm selling. Well, then it goes down to 600. Well, if it gets back up to 640, I'm selling. The Apple news is not helping things today. I mean, you don't want to compete. You don't want Apple in your playground. Apple announced today that they are looking to produce cars by 2024. So that's not a good sign. Price action in Apple, I mean, it's still up $3 on the day. I'll just note people that it had an all-time closing high price after the split of 134.18. We hit 134.40 in today's session and backed off. So keep an eye ahead of that all-time high in the 134 area. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, I own a small amount of Tesla. I would like to get rid of it. My wife never likes to sell, so I'll be sticking with it. But definitely, I won't say the story's broken, but I'll say it's wounded with Apple coming into the arena.
Oh, absolutely. Extra competition, especially competition with his pockets as deep as Apple. It makes sense that people might get a little bit nervous at some of these levels. But hey, Joel, you've already done really well on your Tesla stock. Do you see Apple's news, though, as being that detrimental to Tesla right now? Because in all fairness, Apple is targeting 2024, and they are looking, it sounds like, more towards just a self-driving car. So do you see that being direct competition right now?
You know, I'll say for Apple or for Tesla, I just don't get it. I'm 57 years old, and I've had many cars in my lifetime. And I mean, can there be this many EV makers out there along with GM and Ford? Is there going to be that much of a demand? There's going to be a demand. We are going electric, but how many companies can there be out there? And now with these SPACs and everything going out there, so there's going to be winners out of this. I just don't see, I mean, you know, how many Teslas do you see being driven around? So I just don't understand the entire story. So, you know, in and of itself, I guess that makes me skeptical of Tesla and any other company. But if you look at Apple, I mean, Tesla's a cult stock, right? Well, you don't have any more of a, you know, you can't run against a bigger cult than going up against Apple, right? So cult following there, it's definitely a threat. You know, it's just, I don't want to sound like an old fogey, you know, but I am. And that's just the way I feel about electric EVs. I just don't see them overtaking the world.
Joel, I see where you're coming from. Plus, you have these established car makers that are also slowly moving into this EV sector. Now, Apple's news also outlined them looking at some sort of battery technology, a new battery technology. We, of course, don't know what that is, but how do you see this news and Apple entering the battery sector, essentially, as trickling down to some of the resources that have gotten pumped so much because of this whole EV hype?
Jeez, the batteries are the key. And I made a joke on Twitter last night. You know, I hope their battery lasts longer than they do on my phone or my watch. I have a really old phone, so I guess that's not really fair to say. But, you know, there's some other, you know, there's some lithium makers out there, lithium battery. One stock that I do own, Livent Corp, has performed well. So I'm a believer in the battery. And if they, one thing that they came out and that Apple said, I think that's spooking the Tesla shareholders is they're, you know, they're coming up with a battery that has a better charge, increased mileage, increased distance. And then I guess some of the problems with these batteries and these EVs is them overheating. And I guess this one has less of a propensity to overheat. So the Livent LTHM, full disclosure, I've owned it for a long time, don't plan on selling it. So that's really my extent of following lithium stocks.
Okay, hey, fair enough. And sounds like you also hold Tesla too. No plans on selling that thanks to your wife. So let's also move on to Peloton, because Peloton shares are surging today, popping higher on the back of an acquisition of a fitness maker called Precor. I don't know much about this deal. Joel, what can you share with us in terms of why this is bouncing Peloton so much and any background on Precor?
They're in the hotels a lot. Full disclosure, because of my wife, I'm long shares of Peloton as well. So if you want to start
having her on the show,
she doesn't work on Wednesdays. So if you want to switch our day to Wednesdays, you know, I'm an avid, was an avid swimmer. One facility I went to actually shuttered, closed down. And then another facility that I was going to, my wife just wasn't thrilled with the cleanliness. So, I mean, I love it. I mean, there's a variety of different workouts that I could do on it. They make this acquisition to get more into the commercial market. It's great, you know, it's not cheap. The bike's not cheap. I like things with subscription models. I want, you know, the valuation is the valuation, and it doesn't matter until it matters. The street's really liking this deal. So it's just, it's turning out that it's not just a stay-at-home stock. It's showing that it's a, you know, becoming more of a staple for work, for working out. Crazy price action today, so I'm just going to let it go. I would love to try and let some go at these levels. I'll keep an eye on the close from today and the price action from today, and then use that as a determinant going forward. But it's a great workout. Actually, I'm a little bit sore from my workout from yesterday. I did 30 minutes, and you can get a very good workout.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, Joel. As I said, I'm not totally up to date on that company, but sounds interesting. Also kind of sounds like one of these stay-at-home stocks too, but let's take a step back and talk about the broad markets then, because as positive as some of this news has been taken, even taking into account Tesla just running higher over the last, well, almost all year, look, a lot has gone well for these markets. We're ending the year. It's kind of crazy to think about we're ending 2020 saying markets are at all-time highs, commodities continue to run higher. Boy, oh boy, these financial markets sure look strong and healthy. But then you take a step back and you go, are they that strong and healthy? How do you feel in terms of confidence in U.S. equity markets and the broad averages as we turn the corner into 2021?
Well, you got Pump and Powell in there, and he's got the spigot wide open. So you definitely got a Fed that's willing to defend the market. There's a couple things that a couple caution flags for me. Number one, You had an expiration, and expirations usually trigger turns in the market, or you know, or a strong continuation of the trend. You had a strong close on Friday, that was sold off very hard on Monday. You rebounded, rallied again overnight, and now you're giving it back. The volatility is ramping up, and that is not always the best recipe for a continued bull market. So, you know, I keep an eye. The longer it takes us to get back in 3,700 handle, take out those highs. Actually, if you would have been, an early trader Sunday night, you could have sold that all-time high from Friday early in Sunday session. So, maybe we're not going to, ratchet up or ratchet down. But I think the market has a really important couple weeks coming up ahead. With the holidays and everything, and I just kind of just getting that feeling where, you know, we were severely undervalued at 2,200. Are we overvalued at 3,700? I don't know, but I'd say cautious. A cautious would be my stance here.
Okay, so you're not necessarily saying that you're jumping into, say, shorts or puts
I'm always trying shorts, Corey. I mean, it's not a good trade. But I'm not hedging up. It's hard to hedge up your long-term portfolio just because in order to catch it, you know, you got to do it several times. But I would say if you're 75 years old or 80 years old and, you know, you just got to look at, and I say this every time I'm on, you just got to look at your portfolio, see where you're at. So how much meat's on the bone? Do you want to buy a new house? Do you want to buy a new car? Do you want to buy a new boat? Do you have kids going to college? I think you always have to evaluate these kind of things. And for the market to go up another, 10%, it very well could, could it go down 10% as well? If you're comfortable with another pullback, I don't think we're going to have anything like we had in March unless we go into a full lockdown. I just think you got to evaluate where you're at, on your investing horizon and make decisions accordingly.
So then does that mean buy the dip is still going to be present even this year, right?
Yeah, I know you're trying. I'm not buying. I just always buy, for my long-term portfolio, and I rarely sell. These dips here, 40 points from the all-time high. You had to dip on Monday night. I guess until you get kicked in the face, it's the right scenario to buy the dip. Just be careful what you're buying, what the potential catalysts are for the stock, and, the kind of run that they've had. Because some of these stocks have just had these incredible runs, and no one worries about it when things are going up, 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 and up. It's when things turn, and I wish I had a crystal ball to be able to tell you when it's turning. I just urging caution. Not an investment advisor, but that's just the way I'm looking at the markets.
Hey, Joel, they can turn very quickly, and I very much respect the way you look at these markets. And you're not alone in saying, man, some of these valuations are just in the stratosphere, but they've been there, at least for some stocks, for quite a while. So, yeah, it's a tough market, but it's ending the year still quite strongly. Joel, I really appreciate all the time you spent with us this year. It's a pleasure having you on the show. It's also a joy listening to your pre-market prep show, which I will post a link to below this interview. Joel, I hope you have a very happy holiday season. I look forward to chatting with you again in the new year, buddy. Have a great rest of your year.
All right. Thank you.